You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident fanalist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_daddy. I almost forgot what it was there. 420 some odd podcasts, and it's like, what are my lines again? It's bad because I think what actually happened is I got to the point where I just kind of black out. Like, I'm just off doing other stuff, and I just expect my mouth to take care of it. Go on, do your thing. I'm going to be thinking about that pizza that I just ate. It was delicious. What are you doing? You're not talking. That was a nice little play-by-play for you. Well, today, as you already know, based on the title, we're going to be talking about the Detroit Lions. I was really trying as hard as I could, and it's part of the reason I got started as late as I did. This probably should be done by now. I really wanted to kind of break it up and talk about something else, but I want to get into the Lions. I'm trying to do what I think other people would like me to do, which is to take a break and talk about something else, but I'm really enjoying this. So to get you caught up, and again, if you haven't listened yet, you've got several hours of material going from the Chicago Bears through the Dallas Cowboys. We're now on week 6, and as I said, I'm not necessarily going through and saying this is a win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. I'm kind of doing that to a very small degree. I think I ended the last podcast saying something to the effect that if the Packers offense is meeting its full potential and the Packers defense is meeting its full potential, I would say that we're roughly 4-1, 2-loss maximum. If this is the 2018 Packers all over again, I would hope that we have one win. Winless is not out of the question if we're talking about 2018 Packers. Probably a maximum of 2 wins. Maybe we squeak out 3 because it's September and we've got a bunch of home games and everything else. But literally anything from no wins to undefeated at this point in the season wouldn't surprise me. It's just a matter of what Green Bay Packers team are we going to get. And I did get a text message from someone who is a listener. It would be weird if they weren't. Wrong number, but I just want to talk Packers real quick. But he kind of thinks that I'm underselling the Packers offense a little bit. First of all, it's not really possible for me to undersell something when I'm not selling anything at all. My whole thing is I don't know. But what Eric had essentially said is that I'm underestimating the bounce back that Rodgers and the offense are going to have because I'm essentially underestimating the dysfunction that came as a result of Mike McCarthy. Without taking a guess as to what's going to happen, and you know I'm not afraid to do that if I actually think something is going to happen, I legitimately just don't know. If the Packers were garbage, I wouldn't be surprised. If the Packers were awesome, I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I'd be a little bit surprised by both of those. I kind of expect something a little bit more in the middle, but it's possible. I know garbage is possible because it literally is the last thing that happened. The Packers took the field. I also know awesome is possible because I know the talent that is on that field. There's just a lot of other variables. So what I will say is I fully acknowledge that McCarthy had some impact on how negative this team was. I just don't know to what extent that that is. In other words, do you just remove McCarthy and everything's fixed? Probably not, because there's another part of the equation, which is put somebody else in there that's going to make it good. That's the other part of the equation that I don't know. In other words, McCarthy was a problem, but how much of a problem was he? And are we fixing it with LaFleur? I don't have an answer to either of those questions, so I just don't know. Just kind of clarifying for anybody that agrees with Eric that I'm underselling how good this team is, which is surprising that somebody would say that, because I feel like I'm being super positive. I'm just being cautious, which I think is the right thing to be in May. to have the opinion that I'm not sure, I think is the only real right opinion to have in May. The fact of the matter is, if we go 0-2 to start the season, even at that point when everybody else is freaking out that we're garbage, I'm still going to be saying we don't know. This is not what we wanted to see. This is bad. This is real scary. But we don't know that we're not going to end the season. We don't know that we're not. Right. That's the right way to say it. We don't know that we're not going to end the season positively. We don't know that we're not going to be an awesome team at the end of the season. It's possible that we are. Maybe it's just going to take some time, and this is a delay in the process of becoming awesome. So the point is, if we still don't even know by the end of September how good this team is, I definitely don't know in May. So anyways, making sure we understand that, saying that I don't know, but I'm going to do my best to look at what I can see based on the Packers, and I'm going to do the exact same thing with the Lions, and I'm actually really excited to talk about the Lions, because I've been saying since before the draft, even before free agency, there's a lot of potential here. And I, you know, for the 50-umpteenth time, I'm not saying the Packers could be really, really good because they're, you know, because I'm a homer and I just look at, well, look at our draft picks and we could just be awesome and nobody else because everybody has a draft and a free agency. Yes and no. It's not true that everybody's draft is equal. It's not true that everybody's free agency is equal. I believe that the Packers had the ability to add more to their team and more to build on because we got guys like Aaron Rodgers. There's more reason to believe there's room for improvement because we have a new head coach. Right? If you're coming into the season like the Bears, maybe the Vikings are an even better example where you've got the same head coach, you've got the same this, the same that, the same players. You weren't able to do anything in free agency. You did very little in the draft. Yeah, I can say that the Packers got better than the Bears did. But we still have a question of how much better. Maybe it was a terrible draft. Maybe Preston and Zadarius are going to be trash. Maybe Amos was only good with the Bears. Maybe. I don't know. But in other words, to prove that I'm not just being a homer, I've been saying the same thing about the Lions as I have about the Packers. And that is, they have a lot of potential with the amount of money they had, which they did turn into players, with the amount of draft picks they had, which they did turn into players. How good they are, I don't know. But the potential for this team, if the head coach can kind of turn this into a functional unit, is relatively high. And that's why I've been saying since day one, I think the NFC North is wide open. If the Lions finish ahead of the Bears, it would be a little surprising. I wouldn't put money on it. If I was forced to put money on it, I would definitely pick the Bears. But it wouldn't be earth-shattering, because I expect the Bears to get worse, and I expect the Lions to get a lot better. How much of an over, you know, how much and to what degree is going to make the difference on whether or not the Lions end the season higher than the Bears? I'm already rolling now. We'll get a little more intentional here, but that's sort of the preview. So before we take a break, as per always, be sure to check out the links and whatnot in the description. We got some t-shirts, NFLBigBoard.com, which is, ladies and gentlemen, officially updated. Very excited about that. 160 some odd prospects. Every single one of them has at least three boards with them being ranked on there. Spent a lot of time. So you got the news links, you got the search queries and highlights or whatever. So all you got to do is head there, click on a link, and boom, you got all the information you could ever need. I'm still trying to work on the best possible way to get the scouting reports. I'm not sure the best way to do it, but I'd like to try to get some summer stuff out there. Just simple little things. I'm not really sure. But either way, you got your May big board up there ready. But we're going to take a break, and we'll start talking about the Detroit Lions. That's how the good folks in Brazil say Detroit. Y'all didn't know I spoke Portuguese, did you? Yes, I said Portuguese. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing. But they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Welcome back, folks. So as always, we're going to start with the 2018 Lions. Head coach Matt Patricia had his first season there. They kind of looked like the Detroit Lions, which is to say there's some talent there, but you wouldn't know it by watching them play football. Pretty classic. They ended up going 6-10, fourth in the division, which is pretty staggering because it's kind of a good thing in a way, because when I think about the 2018 Packers season, I feel like no football team has ever played that poorly in the history of the world, because I'm a very spoiled football fan, and I don't even know what bad football looks like. In my mind, there has never been a team that has played that badly, and yet they were third and the Lions were somehow worse. Yeah, I know you swept the Packers, blah, blah, blah. Feel free to brag that outside of the Packers, you won four games. You go ahead and write me a letter and let me know how disappointed with my analysis you are. Can't wait to read it. Since that time, although they did add quite a few people, they did lose a few folks. On the offensive side, they lost Bruce Ellington at wide receiver, who who is now a Patriot, which is kind of interesting. They lost guard TJ Lang, which is a pretty big loss. They lost tight end Luke Wilson, which is pretty big, although they did something to rectify that, but, you know, still. He's at least good depth. And fullback Nick Bellor. On the defensive side of the ball, they lost Glover Quinn, who does not yet have a team. Linebacker Nick Grigsby. Cornerback Nevin Lawson. Linebacker Trevor Bates. Defensive end Eli Harold, who never seemed to want to pan out. So, a few names there. I think of that group, TJ Lang is probably going to hurt quite a bit. They've got a decent offensive line, but nobody that's really a stud. You know, Decker and Wagner on the outside are okay. Glasgow in the middle is okay. Ragnow maybe could take a step, but wasn't great last year. Losing TJ Lang and replacing him with Kenny Wiggins, I believe, is who's going to be playing there. I'm not entirely sure. That's not great. On defense, Glover Quinn, although incredibly inconsistent, has proven to be a pretty good football player for him. Primarily as their strong safety, but he kind of goes around and does everything. They've got a new guy now, Tracy Walker, kind of came out of nowhere and really blew up, so they'll probably be all right, but kind of interesting. Otherwise, not a whole lot of real bad losses there. Nevin Lawson at cornerback, as much as I think they can use as many bodies as possible, he wasn't offering very much. As far as additions, not including the draft, quarterback Connor Cook didn't show anything of promise in his first year, but I don't know what you can really expect. Either way, it's a young guy in a room full of old guys, so he'll come in and, you know, I don't know, maybe battle to somebody be the number two. I can't imagine they expect him to be the starter, but whatever. It doesn't hurt anything. They didn't even pay him. It was a one-year deal, so they're probably not that committed. I think it was less than $1 million, so not a whole lot. Danny Amendola coming in, I think, is a pretty big upgrade as far as, you know, losing Bruce Ellington and bringing in Danny Amendola. Also, although he's not an elite football player by any stretch of the imagination, it's a pretty good compliment considering they got Jones and Galladay out there. Now they've got a veteran slot guy in the slot. They did bring in Ode Abushi, if that's how you say his name, I don't know. I hate having to say his name because I don't know how to say it. He is one of the guys that has the potential of starting at right guard to replace TJ Lang. But any Lions fans listening going, "We got Ode, man!" Yeah, Ode's garbage. So, I mean, cool. Otherwise, Tommy Lee Lewis at wide receiver, Logan Thomas at tight end, and CJ Anderson at running back. I don't think any of these guys are really going to be starting. Again, they've got their three wide receivers, so Tommy Lee, whoever he is probably not going to be starting. The draft, which we'll be talking about next, they got Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas isn't going to be starting. And then CJ Anderson, as much as he had a couple good games this past year, if he ends up starting over Kerryon Johnson, something went terribly wrong. But they got a pretty good group between Zach Zenner, CJ Anderson, Theo Riddick, Kerryon Johnson, and they still have LeGarrette Blount, even though he was really, really terrible this past year and has been for 5 or 6 years. But Kerryon should be the feature back for this team. Hopefully, as Packer fans, he's not for whatever reason. But he probably will be, and I expect him to be a pretty quality back. Then, looking at their draft to kind of round this out, the big pickup was TJ Hockenson, which I don't really hate as a Packers fan. I mean, I get how it could be like a big deal for Lions fans getting all excited about it, right? It's an additional receiver, which is cool because you've got three quality receivers, you know, depending on how you want to define quality. I'll average it out and say quality. And you add TJ Hockenson, and it just becomes a team that's a little bit harder to stop, right? It's not the old days where it was like Calvin Johnson and that's it. No, now we've got three receivers that are all capable, and we've got a tight end that's probably going to be pretty good. Additionally, he's a very good blocker, so you got that going for you. But I just think in terms of like how massive of an impact this is. You have a top 10 pick. You have the ability to get, you know, super high impact. I mean, if he's... And I don't think anybody would even say that this is the type of tight end he is. If he's like a Travis Kelce or something, then you've got something real special, right? If their belief is that their new England head coach can turn this guy into Rob Gronkowski, even though he's a defensive coordinator type of guy, then okay, you got something kind of good. It's just hard to extract the amount of value that you should be getting out of a number eight from a tight end because he has the same bust potential as just about anybody else in the top 10. So it's not a matter of, I mean, I guess you could say he's safe. But if Rashawn Gary is worth the number 12 overall pick and TJ Hockenson is as good as being the 8th overall pick, I'll take the 12th best player in the draft who sacks the quarterback over the 8th best player in the draft who is a tight end. Does that kind of make sense? the oh-no factor just isn't really there. And again, if he ends up being Rob Gronkowski or Travis Kelce or whatever, that stinks. But I don't think I have to remind Lions fans the last time they spent a lot of draft capital on a tight end by the name of Eric Ebron, who was a generational talent, never seen anything like him. He's an absolute freak. I believe the Lions offense was actually better at that time because I remember they had a very, very good offense, but their defense was garbage. They traded up for Ebron, and I remember thinking, okay, so your strategy is to just have the best offense of all time and hopefully that's good enough to overcome your bad defense. That was the words that came out of my mouth in that moment. And there was a little bit of fear, but also a little bit of your defense is still trash, way to go. And again, Ebron was probably even more hyped than T.J. Hockenson. I don't know how many people are going to say that now, but I don't remember hearing nearly as much hype about T.J. as much as there was about Eric Ebron. I mean, just absolute freak among freaks. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of glad that their number 8 pick, which could have been really damaging to our team, ended up being a tight end. In the second round, they took a much-needed linebacker in the name of Jelani Tavai. I don't know too many people outside of Lions fans that think that this was a good pick. But again, everybody in every single one of these war rooms is more capable of making a selection than I am. But I also need to remind everybody that says that, including myself, that they also make really, really dumb decisions every single year. So I'm going to lean toward this not being a good pick. And again, it's not a super high-value position. It's a linebacker. So this is a team that's invested in linebacker and has gotten basically nothing in return and goes out and gets another second-round linebacker, and it's a guy that nobody thought was going to be taken in the second round. Well, I'm sure Lions fans have found a few people that came out of the woodwork saying, "I knew it!" I don't know, maybe he's going to be awesome. I'm just saying. Not a huge amount of high impact. They followed that up with a safety, Will Harris. We'll see what he can do. The potential for him to start is there, I guess, but probably not going to happen again. They got that Walker guy as strong safety. They got Quandre Diggs at free safety. If he ends up taking Quandre Diggs' spot, then they probably got a real, real good free safety out of this. And I don't even know if he is. If he's a strong safety, then I don't know what's going on. Austin Bryant in the fourth round. I'm a little biased against Austin Bryant because I remember when they were talking about him being like an early second-round pick. And I remember watching him and thinking, I never, ever, ever want this human being on my team. He is straight-up garbage. I mean, I didn't really care for a lot of the Clemson guys in general. I never really understood the hype. But I could kind of understand certain people way sooner than I could understand Austin Bryant. I just did not see him do a single thing that I thought was good. So we'll see. I mean, they've got their edge guys. He's going to come in and be a rotational player. And just like just about every single team I've talked about, they're consistently investing in the defensive line. You all went out and got Flowers. You've invested heavily. You know, last year you went out and got Snacks Harrison. You've drafted Deshaun Hand and A'shaun Robinson, all of which have hit. You went out and got Ricky Jean Francois. Now you're investing in another defensive lineman. Now they do need some edge rush help, and if I'm a Lions fan, I'm a little bit upset because we could have taken an edge rusher at 12, and we didn't. We could have taken a edge rusher over Tavai. We could have, you know, I feel like that would have been, and that's what I'm talking about. If they had taken an edge rusher, if they took Rashawn Gary, I would have been scared. I thought Rashawn Gary was a good fit for this kind of a team, this kind of a scheme. And knowing that he's a freak, that would have scared me. It would probably scare me more than T.J. Hockenson, even though I knew T.J. Hockenson was really good and I didn't really know. You know, you rush Rashawn Gary and it's kind of like, I don't know. But I mean, they had Ed Oliver just sitting right there. They had Rashawn Gary. They had Christian Wilkins. They had Brian Burns. Montez Sweat. I think any one of those picks at 12 would have had me kind of a little bit nervous. Because they've got a good front. They just need better pass rushers. And they did not invest in one. The first one they got is Austin Bryant. I think that was a mistake. So although they're investing in the defensive line like every other team is, they're doing it in a way where I'm looking at them going, no. It's just not enough. Now, Trey Flowers is a talented guy. Pressure percentage, 13.4, real high. Higher than probably just about anybody, maybe not Mike Daniels, but higher than just about anybody the Packers have. But that's it. He's their one Khalil Mack on this team. Deshaun Hand, 9.5%. A'shaun Robinson, 9.3%. That's not terrible. But remember, the Packers have got 12s across the entire defensive front. These guys are incredible run defenders is what they are. I mean, you remember when I talked about keeping the linebackers clean so that they can fly around and do whatever? That's these guys. These are big, mauling monsters that you're going to have a real hard time running against. Pass rushers, they got Trey Flowers. And the negative there is that with the outside zone scheme, the Packers can just run away from Trey Flowers. He's a good run defender. We're going to run the other way. We're going to run far to the outside, and you're going to have guys like A'shaun Robinson, 322 pounds, constantly running to the sideline to try to catch a running back. It's going to wear him out, man. And you keep adding in talent so that you can, you know, rotate out guys. But that's, again, that's sort of the problem, is they don't have quality depth. They got bodies. They don't have the quality depth. So they're going to start out. They're going to have, you know, Damon Harrison. They're going to have A'shaun Robinson and Deshaun Hand rotating, and, you know, with Trey Flowers off the edge. And, you know, they're going to start with these guys. And then as the time rolls on, you're going to have a front that is, you know, Trey Flowers out there with Romeo Arquois and Ricky Jean Francois and Deshaun Hand, right? That, I mean, it's just, okay, let's just run it down their throat. I mean, I'm just not scared of that. So they're prioritizing it. They're really investing a lot in it. But I think in today's NFL, it's a lot of, you got to have the pass rushers. They've got the run stoppers. So anyways, I'm getting all kinds of carried away. In the fifth round, somebody that you can't help but be excited about if you're a Lions fan is Amari Arawarie in the fifth round. Again, no idea how good he's going to be, but this is sort of similar to, you know, us getting Equanimeous St. Brown in the fifth round. He should not have made it this far, at least according to a lot of people. However, the fact that 32 teams passed on him all the way down to the Detroit Lions until the fifth round means there's probably something that everybody else was missing. But there's a real good chance that this guy could be a starter, especially on this team that actually needs them. And I know Lions fans hate when I say that, but there's not a whole lot that I like with this group. Darius Slay, yeah, cool. Justin Coleman is not good. Rashawn Melvin is not good. Tease Tabor, who I thought was going to be real good until he ran his 40, but he was definitely my guy. He is one of the worst in the NFL. There's nobody here, right? According to PFF, Marcus Cooper was an elite cornerback, but he only played 39 snaps, so that they didn't even give him a rank because that's not enough information. So I think there's a real good chance if he's even half as good as a lot of the people who are doing the scouting work, scouting Twitter and whatnot, there's a real good chance Amani Arawarie is going to be starting. Love saying that guy's name. I know that's not how you say it. That's how I say it. Try it and tell me it's not awesome. Just roll the R's and pretend you're an African, a Zimbabwean or whatever. Arawarie. It's pretty fun. It's like a jungle gym for your mouth. Travis Fulgham in the sixth round, wide receiver out of Old Dominion. Ty Johnson at running back is just another body. I don't know what the point of that is. Again, they've got a bunch of guys, unless they just really liked him. I don't know, best player available, all that kind of stuff. Seventh round, Isaac Nauta. Actually a pretty decent pickup. He's another one that kind of slid that I don't think a lot of people thought were going to be that late. Maybe I'm wrong. But when you got TJ Hockenson, I don't know. I don't expect their sixth round draft pick to do much contributing. Excuse me, seventh round. And then also PJ Johnson, another seventh round guy, and I'm pretty sure we can conclude that that's not going to be much of a contribution, but he's another defensive tackle, so another body to try to, I don't know, keep building it up, man. So overall, if I may say so, I think in terms of when I look at the Packers and the Lions had the same opportunity to improve, I do like what the Packers did more. If we look up front, the Lions added Trey Flowers and Austin Bryant. The Packers added Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Rashawn Gary. If you look at the linebackers, the Packers didn't do anything to improve, but I don't know the Lions did a ton to improve either. You know, obviously you got to give them to Vai, who's going to be starting, but overall, who's going to have the better linebacking group? I still think the Packers have a better group, even if that group consists basically of one guy, because the only good linebacker between the two teams is Blake Martinez. If you look at the safeties, they lost a safety. They did draft a safety, but I don't think he's going to be starting, so they have the same safety group as last year. We have Adrian Amos, and we have Darnell Savage. Packers got a lot better at safety. Again, the Lions are the same. Corners, again, we'll see what happens with Amani. Maybe he starts. Even so, if you take their Slay and our Jair in his second year, and you have Kevin King, who is better than their corners, and you have Josh Jackson, who is going to be taking a second-year leap. And I don't know how much of a leap, but if we're talking about improvement, it's still hard not to take the Packers, even though they didn't bring anybody in. Because Jair taking a second-year leap, I think, is enough to erase Amani Arawarie to begin with. But maybe, fine, okay, they improved at corner better than we'd. I don't know if I buy that, but if you want to say that, that's fine. Either way, the Packers defense has improved a lot more than what the Detroit Lions has. And a lot of that has to do with they invested a ton of money. Not comparatively. You look at, you know, the amount of money they spent compared to some other teams that went crazy on the position. But still, $18 million a year on average is a lot. Yes, Za'Darius was also a lot. But you also factor in the fact that this is a $90 million contract over 5 years, as opposed to Za'Darius, which is 16.5. And, you know, the guarantees are already paid out, and it's a four-year contract. Either way, what I'm saying is I think the Lions went all in on the top pass rusher right out of the gate, and that sort of dictated what they were able to do outside of that. If we flip that around and look at their offense, and again, talk about the improvement, now, obviously, I'm going to give them tight end. I really like Jay Sternberger, and I tried to downplay Hockenson a little bit, but I am in no way going to say that Jay Sternberger is going to have a bigger impact at tight end than Hockenson is. And I'll even go a step further and say that given what we saw from our veteran tight ends last year, I don't know that even combined we have as good of a group as the Lions have right now. And when I say group, essentially I'm saying the impact of all these guys compared to Hockenson, I wouldn't be surprised if Hockenson was more impactful because it's, you know, you can't just combine them into one human being. That's just not how that works. As far as the wide receivers, so their offense maybe did get a little bit better because they also added at wide receiver. Yes, Davante Adams is better than anybody they have, although Kenny Golladay is really becoming something pretty special. And Amendola isn't anything all super crazy to write home about. So maybe if you want to give our wide receivers the same amount of credit, that they're going to take a second-year leap. But I'm not going to do that because I think Amendola is a big need in the slot. I think that was a good pickup. And as much as I'm hopeful for our wide receivers, again, I'm not going to do the same thing for a bunch of fifth and sixth round wide receivers that I'm going to do to a first and second round cornerback. Now, do I care super much? No, because again, Amendola isn't doing all that much, and a tight end doesn't scare me all that much. And if we continue on and look at, you know, quarterback, it's just there was no real addition. Same quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers is miles ahead. Running backs, you know, we did add a guy, they added some people. Probably aren't going to see a ton of time, but overall, I would take the Packers because our guy is going to be playing in a rotation. Also, I think Aaron Jones, as underrated as he is, I think he is going to be a better running back by the end of the year. And finally, offensive line, I don't think they did anything. They lost their guard, which really, if you just leave it at that, their offensive line, as far as their guards, is about the same as the Packers, except their right tackle isn't as good as our right tackle, their center isn't as good as our center, their left tackle is not even on the same planet as our left tackle. Then factor in we got Cole Madison back, factor in we took Elgton Jenkins in the second round, you know, factor in that we went out and got Billy Turner in free agency. Our offensive line has grown leaps and bounds ahead of theirs. So overall, I don't know how you can possibly look at the Packers and Lions, both of whom had around the same amount of money to be able to improve their teams, and say that the Packers came away with less than the Lions, or even that they were kind of close. I don't see that. I think if you look at the draft and free agency, the Packers are miles ahead of where they were. The Lions are better, but I don't think they maximized the potential that they had to the same degree as the Packers. Now, I'm still standing by the fact that they could be a pretty good team, but I would say that I'm a little underwhelmed. Danny Amendola, Trey Flowers, and what? The draft, you got Tavai and Hockenson. And I have very little expected. I mean, again, the only real impact that I see as far as new additions is TJ Hockenson and Trey Flowers. And Amendola is better than what would have been had they not got him, but in terms of value, he's not worth the money they're paying him. So a pass rusher and a tight end. It's actually kind of, as a Packer fan, I'm excited. As a general football enthusiast, I'm kind of disappointed to the point of being upset by it, because that's kind of garbage, man. I mean, granted, you only get so many picks in the draft, so there's only so much you can do in the draft, and you can't just go to the supermarket, like I've said several times, and just get whatever. It's not like there were top-tier cornerbacks you could have gone out and got or whatever. They did maybe the best that they could with what they had, but I don't know. Go out and, I mean, still go out and get a linebacker. I mean, the Lions have, according to Over the Cap, $26 million in cap space. I don't know what they're sitting on it for, but, I mean, I don't know, whatever. They need to go get something. Work on that offensive line, work on your linebackers, maybe try to get an upgraded corner, if these people even exist. But you need to do something. Just sitting on $26.5 million isn't going to do you any good in this season. But anyways, take a quick little break-ski, It'll be our last one, and then we'll just kind of run through the offense versus our defense, their defense versus our offense, and we'll call it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So considering, and I should probably mention this, this is also going to be a home game, which is going to be awesome. This and the Oakland Raiders are at home. So again, the reason we want to stack success in these first couple tough games, the Bears is going to be real tough in Chicago. The Vikings at home is going to be tough. Denver at home could actually be kind of tough, as much as we want to laugh at them. The Eagles, of course, could be. Almost all these teams can be tough because they have those defenses that are going to make sure the Packers can't run away with it. And anytime you have a defense that can do that kind of stuff, the problem is you're relying on your defense to come out and matching that. And that's not easy to do. Keeping a team under 10, 15 points or whatever for any extended period of time is going to be tough. And to say definitively the Bears aren't going to be able to put up 20, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Cowboys, you can't say that. I have no problem sitting down and laughing with you about how bad the Chicago Bears offense is and how much I think they're a joke. Do I know week one, September 5th, we're going to be able to stop them from scoring? No, I don't. So the reason we got to do that is because I feel like this is a pretty good opportunity on prime time at home to beat a divisional opponent, which is going to, of course, matter by the end of the year. All wins matter, but especially against divisional opponents, right? You don't think about it in week six, but as you get closer to the end of the season, suddenly you start counting this stuff. And losses to the Detroit Lions at home are really going to hurt. So we got to win this one. But again, beyond that, if we can get 3 of the 5, let's just say we win 3 of the last 5, then we beat the Lions and the Raiders at home. Now we're 5-2. That's not bad. And we need that because we're going on the road against the Chiefs and we're going on the road against the Chargers. That's going to be tough. And we got Carolina at home, which we haven't looked at it yet. I would expect that should be a very winnable game. We'll see what happens. But that's what we have before our bye. And prior to the bye, or excuse me, after the bye, it's basically 4 out of 6 games on the road. And we're talking West Coast. Next week we go East Coast. Then we come home against the Redskins, home against the Bears, which is going to be tough. Then it's 3 divisional games in a row. And again, the reason you want to stack all those wins, or another reason, is because hopefully by the time we come out of the bye, what I really don't want to happen is to come out of the bye and suddenly the team starts to figure it out, but it's already too late. I'm so tired of, and maybe I shouldn't cry about it, you know, it is what it is. It's football, it adds to the excitement. But I'm really tired of getting down to the final third of the season and saying we basically have to win out. I'm so tired of that. I miss the days of just being so dominant. You could basically lose all the rest of the games and you're still good. But you won't because you're dominant. But anyways, important game. So what I would like to do is look at our offense versus their defense first. Because that, I think, you know, with Flowers and whatnot, it's kind of a wild card. You want to be able to score against them. Need to be able to score against them. Because this is another one of those sort of mid-tier. In other words, this is a kind of defense where if your offense is garbage, you could be in trouble because they have enough here to kind of at least slow you down. At least that's my expectation. I don't know what they're actually going to be. That's sort of if they meet their, you know, the defensive front is decent. Slay's good as a number one to be able to slow down Adam. Good enough safeties. Tavai, if he can do anything, it's going to be a huge benefit. You know, and to be honest, Tavai is in a great situation. He could be a guy that maybe if he went to 25 out of the 32 teams, he'd be a bust. But the Lions are maybe one of those teams with that stout front, but especially those big run-defending guys that are going to take on two blockers at once. Nobody's getting to the next level. All he's got to do is fly around and make tackles. He maybe went to the right team. But anyways, I think what I'm trying to do is look at it from the Lions' standpoint. If I'm the defensive coordinator, how am I going to shut this down? If I'm trying to be a homer Detroit Lions fan, what am I going to say we're going to do? Right out of the gate, the only thing that I can say is that Darius Slay has got to lock down Devontae Adams. If he can't do it by himself, I'm really scared. And we already know he can't, but he's going to have a real good day. Because again, we don't have very good corners outside of what we've already got. And I can sit here and rag on the Packers wide receivers and go, well, they're not good either, blah, blah, blah. Fine. but Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Geronimo Allison are at least good enough to be able to get open. Because the corners have to be perfect, the wide receivers have to just get open once. Right? That's the benefit of the offense. If I'm Aaron Rodgers and I got four guys running routes, I've got four guys and only one of them needs to get open. They've got four guys that need to be perfect. Because if one guy blows his assignment, I've got an open wide receiver and that's a win for the offense. Kind of unfair, but that's how football works. This is why teams want to have more than just their one guy. This is why I've been saying for the Detroit Lions, you got to do better. You got to do better. Slay is not enough. The other reason it's important is because if he can't do it and I need to get safety help, first of all, I don't have super great safeties as it is. If I'm bringing safety help and the Green Bay Packers got really tall, really fast guys, I don't want single high safety. If I'm doing single high, I'm getting destroyed. That's the last thing I want. I need to be able to be playing, you know, with more safeties over the backside. The other thing that I really would hate if I was a Lions fan is the lack of talent at linebacker, and this is where you can start to look at guys like Devin Bush that maybe would have been a better pick. The problem is with the Packers' speed, and this is part of the reason you like speed, it's not even so much inherently what the speed does for you and, oh, he's just going to run down the field and be open all the time. No, the problem with speed for the defense is sort of like, it's almost like the run game in general. You got to respect it because it's there. So if I decide I'm going to cheat up and my safeties are going to come up close because I'm doing little dump-off passes and I'm running the ball all the time and LaFleur just keeps running this outside zone, so I'm bringing my strong safety Walker up close and we're going to play uptight and my linebackers are uptight and I'm basically playing single high safety. Well, I hate to tell you this, but Equanimeous and Marquez are going to get behind your guys. So if you're keeping your guys back, that puts the stress on your linebackers to be able to cover more area because it hollows out the middle. I've got your safeties now spread way out. Because if we don't, I mean, and that's the thing, they're not doing anything back there because the ball's not going to them. But the second we decide we're not going to do that, because, hey, he's not throwing it there anyways, let's just bring the safeties up, that's when we get behind you and throw a touchdown pass for 60 yards. So with your safeties back, that hollows out the middle, and here's the problem. You look at Jelani Tavai, and I tried to pull up my linebacker list, and I've got, it looks like I got one person on here twice, so I've got 39 linebackers. Tavai is not on this list. 39 linebackers, or excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong one here. I've got 43 linebackers. 43, and Jelani Tavai is not one of them. So that's not great. But what I did do is I went and pulled up my little RAS thing to see if he's at least got some speed. Because I know the rest of our linebackers are not very good. And Jared Davis, I mean, he's as good as it gets for the Lions as far as coverage goes, but I'm hoping Jelani Tavai can do it. So I pull up his RAS card. The guy ran a 4.86. He has an RAS score of 4.14. Great size, poor speed, poor explosion, and he does not have an agility grade. However, he did run a 4.41 short shuttle, which is a terrible, terrible grade. The only thing athletically that he did that was at least on par was a 33.5-inch vert, and it was just kind of okay. But then I thought, okay, well, just to be a little bit more thorough, speed isn't necessarily everything. Let's see what PFF had to say about the guy. Well, they gave him a 72.4, which is good, but again, remember, we're talking about college football players, and typically the guys that go to the NFL grade out pretty spectacularly. And a lot of the guys that got drafted in the first round had either very good or elite grades. And almost none of these guys are going to have elite grades as rookies in the NFL compared to NFL caliber talent. So take a major penalty on your college grade when you go to the NFL. He's at a 72.4 right now. That's pretty bad. But even beyond that, what I'm really interested in is his coverage ability, and his coverage ability was terrible. His run defense, 76.4, so that's kind of what his bread and butter was. He was okay as a pass rusher, I guess, was okay. Coverage, 60.3. That was one of his best years in coverage. So he can't do it, is my point. He can't do it, and I think the Lions know that. That's apparently not what they drafted him for, which is fine by me because, again, Davante Adams is better than Slay. Scantling, Allison, whoever, Kumaro, I don't care whoever you want to throw in there, is good enough to be able to beat Melvin and Coleman. Beyond that, anything they try to do with their linebackers to help with coverage, not only against the wide receivers in zone, but also against our tight ends. Because remember, Jay Sternberger, I think, is going to shock a lot of people. PFF graded him as the number one, by a lot, receiving tight end in the NFL, despite the fact that he doesn't have a lot of speed, because as I've said, speed is not the ultimate determinant factor in receiving. Being a good receiver is. good route running, intelligent, being in the right place at the right time, great hands, explosion in and out of your breaks. This is what makes you a good wide receiver and allows you to have separation. But anyways, beyond that, their linebackers can't do it. So throwing the football is not going to be a problem. And as I said, they do have Trey Flowers, who's much better and is going to be able to provide the pass rush that they're not getting from anywhere else. But so what? We've got David Bakhtiari. So they're not going to get to the quarterback as much as a lot of the other teams compared to some of the other. And I'm not going to say they have no pass rush, but compared to the Bears, compared to the Lions, compared to the Vikings, the Broncos with Von Miller and Chubb. The Eagles, I think, have a better pass rush across the board. I think the Cowboys probably have a slightly better pass rush. I think this is going to essentially be a break. So I think the Packers, and again, we're talking about full potential and all that, but I think if the Packers are clicking on all cylinders and are at least up to what their potential is, if the guys that I'm looking at are as good as I believe that they should be just by themselves, I'm not saying, oh, they're going to be freaks this year even though they've never been. I'm just saying play up to as good as you are. I think the Packers should be able to throw the ball at will against the Detroit Lions at home. As far as running the football, it gets a little bit more complicated because, again, they've got a lot of talent, but a lot of that talent is concentrated in the middle. Now, if they've got their base defense as PFF has it laid out, they've got Flowers, Robinson, Harrison, and Hand out front. And Hand is sort of like the Rashawn Gary-ish type guy who's inside-outside sort of guy. And all four of these guys are very good against the run, again, with Flowers being the only one that's really a premium pass rusher. And considering they didn't do anything to add to their pass rush, I'm guessing this is what they're primarily going to try to run with Hand being sort of the strong side guy, Flowers, although he's built like a strong side guy, handling the weak side, the whatever, right, the pass rush side. This is a little bit harder to run against. But again, with having nothing at linebacker, it might be frustrating at time because they're going to get some penetration. Harrison's going to be able to take on two guys in his sleep. It's not going to be easy to run against the Lions, but I think on occasion we're going to have the ability, especially if our offense can take a little bit of a step, to get up to that next level and to be able to take some chunk plays. So it might be, you know, once every three tries or whatever, but again, with our ability to throw the ball against this team, assuming we can, running the ball is just going to be basically keeping them honest. And if we can have a lot of success, that's going to take them out of this sort of a base front, put them in a more lighter front, and that's just going to make it easier to run the ball whenever we decide to do that. So I'm not going to change my stance that I want to at least show a little bit of respect to the Lions until we see that they can't put it together. But I just am not scared of what I'm looking at right now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Anyways, flipping it around now, the Detroit Lions offense versus the Packers defense. Starting off in the trenches, which is always the most fun place to start, obviously it's advantage Packers. Now, not having that premier edge rusher kind of puts it in a place where we've got guys that are good enough, but they also have guys that are good enough, right? If we had a premier pass rusher going up against Decker, I'd say Decker's going to have a long day, but I think Decker's good enough to at least hold up decently against Smith or whoever. But again, the benefit of the Packers front is that even if Zadarius is having a hard time against Decker and Preston's having a hard time against Wagner or whatever, one of these guys is getting home. It's very similar to what I was saying about the Packers wide receivers against their corners. Okay, so they can kind of match up. Everybody can kind of match up. There's some more advantageous than others. But all we need is one. All we need is on one play for Clark to beat out Wiggins or O'Day. All we need is for once for Gary to stunt inside and be able to take out Frank Ragnow. And I do think consistently that we're going to have somebody beating one of their somebodies. And that's all that matters. And they have, as much as they have guys that are kind of good enough to hold up enough, they also have guys that are not elite to the point where it's like, well, whoever's going over there just isn't. Every single one of these guys is beatable. And I think every single one of these guys will be beat on occasion by somebody on this Packers defensive front. As far as matching up, I think it could be tough against their wide receivers, but they don't really have elite talent. And again, with this front bringing consistent pressure, that's only going to help our corners and our safeties, who, by the way, our safeties have gotten a lot better. So their ability to go deep is going to be a lot harder because of our safeties. Even their ability to play in the middle of the field, because remember, Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage, regardless of how deep they're, well, I shouldn't say that. Even if they're not necessarily manned on somebody, throwing across the middle of the field is dangerous when you have guys like Amos that jump routes, when you've got guys like Darnell Savage that have incredible closing speed. If you've got Kenny Golladay trying to cut across the middle and you've got, you know, let's say Darnell Savage is about 6-7 yards off, if he sees your arm cocking back and starts sprinting, I have a good, pretty good idea that Savage is going to get there before the ball gets there. And I think what that's essentially going to do is it makes it more dangerous the further down the field you go, which brings everything close and condenses it. And then when you have a Packers pass rush that's getting there consistently, that further makes you want to condense things. And the NFL's doing that more often anyways. You see that with the Bears and with the Chiefs and with a lot of these teams. They kind of dink and dunk close to the line of scrimmage anyways. But the problem with that is it takes you longer to get down the field, and the odds of you making a mistake and giving the ball away or not getting a first down before you get down far enough to score points goes up exponentially, as opposed to just ripping, you know, 4 20-yard passes off. And again, with Pettine's press man scheme, it's going to be hard to be doing that little dink and dunk stuff unless it's actually behind the line of scrimmage. But quick timing passes, quick timing little slants don't work very well when Jair Alexander is putting his fist in your mouth. Then you got Matt Stafford sitting there waiting for you to get open, and you're not quite open. You're not where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be. Even if you're able to get open, he's got to pull his eyes off and look somewhere else. And at that point, that's when your pass rushers have got some opportunities to be able to get after the quarterback. Even when the entire design of this was to make sure that we don't have a possibility, now suddenly we have the chance. Now, TJ Hockenson is the wild card here, but I think between Savage, Amos, Martinez, and the corners that we have, even like a guy like Tremont, Josh Jones, or Jackson. I feel comfortable. They're going to get their spots. Kenny Golladay, T.J. Hockenson, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola. They're going to make some hay. Kerryon Johnson's going to get his chunks. But I think overall, if I'm looking at it, I take the Packers defense over the Lions offense. I take the Packers offense over the Lions defense. That's just how I see it. I feel like I've done a good enough job of being honest to where you know that if that's not how I felt, that's not what I would say. But that's absolutely how I feel just looking at it. Now, again, could the Lions win? Of course they can win the game. All the Packers have to do is something similar to what they did last year. The corners can't seem to stop anybody. The safeties aren't helping at all. We don't have any linebackers. We can't stop the run. But I just don't see that really happen. But anyways, should be a really good game. I'm excited for it. You folks enjoy your Saturday. I'll be talking to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.